Welcome to SAE's Cybersecurity Podcast, What 5G Means for Transportation Cybersecurity. My name is Patty Cray with SAE International and the SAE Cybersecurity Knowledge Hub. We'll explore the intersection of transportation and telecommunication in developing the next generation mobile networks on which tomorrow's connected vehicles will be increasingly dependent. My guest is Jim Meisner of Qualcomm. He will offer his thoughts on how automakers, telecommunications companies, government, and others could likely work together to balance privacy and security as the number of connected vehicles and eventually full autonomous vehicles scale up to 300 million on the roads in the future. Jim Meisner is a senior director of technical standards at Qualcomm, where he leads wireless technology innovation efforts to develop automotive and transportation standards. Over the past 20 years, he has focused on the intersection of transportation and technologies. Jim was an early pioneer in vehicle highway automation, serving as modeling and simulation lead for the National Automated Highway Systems Consortium from 1995 to 1997. He has also worked as an independent consultant with clients ranging from small startups focused on self-driving cars through Qualcomm and to the U.S. DOT. Jim is a member of IEEE, the Transportation Research Board's ITS Committee, and the U.S. expert in ISO TC204 Working Group 17 and Working Group 18. He also serves on the First Responder-Focused Transportation Safety Advancement Group. Last but not least, Jim is the chair of SAE's newly formed Cellular V2X Technical Committee and the vice chair of the SAE Dedicated Short-Range Communications Committee. Welcome, Jim.
Thank you very much, Patty, and I'm happy to be talking with you and others this afternoon.
Thank you. So, Jim, consumer attitudes and preferences towards the cars are changing. Today, cars are viewed really as an all-purpose vehicle. We use them to commute to work or to school, pick up the groceries, take the dog to the park, go on family vacations. But it appears that in the future, consumers may want more flexibility in how they fulfill their transportation needs, really in an on-demand scenario and via their smartphones. What this implies is greater collaboration between the telecommunications and the automotive industries to deliver this promise of ubiquitous connectivity and eventually self-driving cars. Most consumers are probably not aware of the underlying technology that is likely to make this happen. Jim, can you help us understand some of these new technologies that are on the horizon?
Certainly, Patty. One thing that may not be known, if you go out and buy a new car today, the odds are very high it's going to have a modem, or that is going to have some sort of a connectivity. We anticipate that about two-thirds of all new vehicles will have such connectivity by 2022, and that's up from about 20% now. So this pace of ever-increasing connectivity is happening. And that's instantiated or evidenced by the fact that the cellular modem exists. But there are more and exciting things in the future. There's an idea called cellular V2X. There's also a legacy idea called dedicated short-range communication. But more importantly, and perhaps most dramatically, is the advent of 5G. So with more and more modem penetration or more probability that you're going to have a modem in your car, and the probability is high that the car next to you or the car five blocks away or the car across the city will have such connectivity. You add to that the increased richness of connectivity options and a connectivity performance. 5G is the future, and 5G indeed portends this idea of self-driving cars helped by the telecommunications industry.
Mm-hmm. So what exactly is 5G?
Well, 5G is a lot of things. 5G is a unifying connectivity technology. Basically expands the value of mobile networks to all sorts of new verticals or new industries. And of course, one of the new verticals is this brand new world of automated and connected vehicles. So the types of services that would be empowered by having this massive connectivity, these ultra reliable low latency communication links, and the broad impact and the broad coverage offered by these new technologies basically says that, in short, the next generation will be many things. It's the generation beyond 4G, but it's imagined to be exceedingly broad in coverage and broad in particular use cases. So Patty, without getting into details and talking about waveforms and radar and things like that, that is 5G.
Wonderful. So you did mention one point that I wanted to get clarified is you talked about low latency. So how does that compare to what we currently have in our cars?
Well, right now, if you take your car and you have your LTE modem, you have great connectivity, depending on network coverage, to an over-the-top service that you want, most likely. And that could be real-time traffic. It could be a lot of things. The low latency aspect of 5G, and by the way, that's not the only pillar of 5G, but the low latency aspect of 5G would allow you to have that direct vehicle-to-vehicle communication, which other technologies offer, but not as well. And very essentially, it provides the low latency safety critical services that will continue for 40 or 50 years because it evolves. So when we talk about this low latency service and you think about 5G, yes, that's here and now, or is it? And we're going to say that it is. And the transition to 5G is happening with some of the things that we're working on with Cellular V2X. And in fact, as a quick plug, but it's an essential part because it only shows the ecosystem is evolving. Within Qualcomm, we've announced a product, the 9150 CV2X chipset, which will be available in late 2018. But what is, from a standards perspective, there has to be interoperability, and that's what motivated me, actually. I'm the chair, as noted, of the SAE Cellular V2X Technical Committee, but I founded it. And I have right now 50 other SAE technical committee members on that because we all see that some of these applications to include low latency can be implemented in a standardized way before the quote-unquote 5G starts, but then it continues through this 5G era that we're entering into.
So on the committee, Jim, what types of organizations are represented?
Well, in SAE technical committees, we are individuals, as many who listen to this podcast knows. That doesn't hide the fact that we believe in and work for we believe in the mission and work for organizations. But certainly, the automotive sector is involved with OEMs and their tiered suppliers, so their tier one and tier two suppliers. Interestingly and importantly, there is a certification group. That is, there are a certification industry and a vertical. People who make test equipment, they're involved. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention that companies like Qualcomm and chip makers and telecommunications interests are in there. What might be most telling is that it's broken up into three task forces. And one task force is an advanced application task force, and that's chaired by a gentleman from AT&T. Another would be direct communication, which is chaired by a tier three supplier. And thirdly, and most essentially, I believe, in order to put this fabric together, is a road operators task force, because that's part of the user community. So I think that already there's already a lot of excitement and understanding that this idea of connectivity, to have connected and automated vehicles that involves all sorts of entities in our ecosystem, that's happening. And so, again, paving the way to 5G within SAE.
Thank you, Jim. That was a great description. And when we talk about autonomous vehicles, we're not just talking about passenger cars, right? Are we also talking about trucks and buses and other kinds of vehicles on the road?
Oh, absolutely. Every road user is considered in what we call 5G, or even these antecedent ideas that lead to 5G that we're already standardizing. But when you talk about commercial vehicles in particular, yeah, and what is all the rage is this idea of platooning. And, you know, I've been doing platooning since the mid-90s. In some of my bio, you can listen to some platooning happening in my career. So what we didn't have then, and which we have now, is the ability to deliver these types of reliable communication links. We had the protocols. We had things generally in our horizon. But what we have now is this idea of a standardized radio and standardized radio interface. And that can happen through a variety of technologies, but, you know, if you want extensibility, more and more capabilities to do, say, high-density cooperative driving or even high-density platooning, you point to these new technologies. And what, for example, what 5G can offer that other technologies can't is the idea of video streaming between vehicles and more and more broadband sensor sharing. wireless ranging between vehicles. All sorts of ideas that are happening right now within standardization of the radio access technology, in which we in the application community want to leverage to really make this future hum. Mm-hmm.
So does this technology pose greater cybersecurity risk than other technologies?
Well, certainly it and every technology poses a cybersecurity challenge. And so you can call it what you want. But what this industry comes with also is right now you have nearly ubiquitous connectivity because you have a handheld. And there are hard lessons learned with hardware and software cybersecurity, which we plan to implement in terms of providing these types of protections against these types of threats. That's one dimension of it, and I can elaborate that as you wish. But another dimension which we need to bring up front, within the existing DSRC community that does direct communication, there is an idea of authenticating message exchange from unknown entities. And that would be, it's instantiated in standards, but basically it's a PKI or public key infrastructure idea where you would have verification of these unknown entities and therefore at least a trusted source of the message. Once it gets in the vehicle, then the types of cybersecurity standards and recommended practice that SAE is working on would start to apply. So what we plan to bring is basically the marriage of two things. One is the know-how and expertise and understanding of the security that's being implemented in 5G. And if you want direct, ad hoc, anonymous communications as part of your solution, then we plan to bring as much legacy forward as possible that makes sense from the community that already exists.
Mm-hmm. So what factors do automakers, commercial vehicle manufacturers need to consider with 5G, with this technology that's going to be coming in?
Well, you just brought up the security, and that's an important factor as it permeates our thinking from beginning to end. But everything else becomes, and certainly you would call it a mixture of automotive and electrical engineering. So certainly the modem, that is that communicating device that we at Qualcomm and others make, is very important. But to point out that 5G, to deliver on all the promises, means that you have a more spectrum that's being used. So your radio frequency, front-end performance, your antenna design, to make sure that things, particularly in the automotive industry, that you have a solution that works globally would be a very important design factor. You have to realize also that with 5G, you don't throw away 3G or 4G. So this idea of having a multi-mode fallback is quite important because, you know, your LTE modem that you buy today in your car will have to likely work in a 5G environment in a number of years. Timing is pretty important also. And this is much more softer, but it's a factor as one starts to plan for 5G, is when is 5G going to be rolled in your region and when is 4G or LTE going to roll out? And importantly, and this applies to more than just communication, is your technology supplier track record. Because there are some technology suppliers that can do 5G very well, and some technology suppliers that simply say they can do 5G very well. But that's a generalization of anything or any design that goes in or product that goes into a car.
So what would be some of the challenges that maybe the telecoms might face in the rollout?
Well, you know, we talked about security, and, you know, even though I described that there is a track record with telecom and telecom suppliers in addressing this, the idea that you have to have defensive technologies that address security that's hardware down to the silicon is pretty important. And so from those of us who make hardware, that's essential. And there's some of us who make hardware and devise software, too. So robust software is important, too. So this entire total system would be a challenge. The other challenges are not related to security, clearly, but they're very important. They're the aforementioned ideas of working with the automotive industry to come up with really good front-end solutions, because antenna design in a car that addresses all these frequencies is not trivial. But the rest of the challenge I'm going to submit have already been overcome in terms of the societal need and the transportation need and the advancements in other types of automotive technologies that we as suppliers, as a telecom industry, can embrace together with the automotive OEM. So the fact is that there is a demand, a pent-up demand, and future demands for these types of services. And we're already meeting that by having modems in your car that have cellular connectivity. That's the start. So we've already made the important beachhead toward conquering this 5G world.
So Jim, what other devices will 5G enable, or what other devices would be used by 5G besides cars?
Well, any device that touches your life, and certainly what we call important verticals, would be healthcare and the types of mission-critical healthcare delivery that you can only imagine, but we hope to make real with 5G. But if you want broadband connectivity, or you want to really take advantage of the Internet of Things, those are also covered within 5G. For us, automotive, and for me in particular, and for the audience, automotive is a very top priority. But the idea is that this technology does not exist just for automotive. It exists for all, which is a great cross-leveraging opportunity. And this is why the technology will be broadly applicable, because it will be broadly available.
So because it's so broadly available or be useful for any device that's the Internet of Things, is there a need to expand beyond just the automotive industry and the telecoms? Is there a need to have this ubiquitous interoperability, and what group might be working on that?
The group that works on interoperability at the radio layer is a third generation partnership project. And I don't know if very much of this audience is familiar with 3GPP, but it's a very large standardization group. 3GPP provides specifications that are to be adopted by regional standards bodies around the world. So this ensures that your mobile phone or your mobile device or even your car in North America can talk to, in an LTE context, to another mobile phone or device or a car when it goes to Europe. And so it's pretty important to have this underlying basis of radio interoperability. We start to talk about automotive applications. Certainly there are enterprise applications where an automotive OEM will want to leverage 3GPP technologies to go over the top to a service in a cloud and work with a network operator. That doesn't necessarily have to be standardized. It just has to be institutionalized in an enterprise relationship once the radio technology, the radio interoperability is given. But from an SAE point of view, when you're talking to other cars who may or may not be in your network, then standards bodies such as SAE become increasingly important, because interoperability would apply to all layers to include the applications, so that my car can talk to your car in the matter that we envision. And that could be a safety critical matter. So this group, SAE, is very prominent in what it can do to really enable some of these concepts to happen in the automotive industry.
Okay, thank you. So what should governments know about 5G to either craft policy or regulations?
Well, government should know a lot about 5G and should be involved, and they already are. For example, 5G will utilize all spectrum bands, and I really do mean all, or pretty close to all, because you've got low bands down to 600 megahertz, mid bands that are around 3.5 gigahertz, certainly the ITS bands, which are around 5.9 gigahertz, and high bands. These are millimeter wave bands that go 28, 39, and other higher frequencies. Not all of these apply to transportation. Some of them definitely do. And when it comes to spectrum, that's where the government should be very cognizant, because the government has a strong hand to play there. Moreover, we're not just talking about spectrum in a dispassionate way when I give you numbers. There's ideas of license, there's the idea of share, there's the idea of unlicensed. And so the idea that the government can tie all this together and harmonize it to make sure there's interoperability from a spectrum perspective, they can auction the spectrum. It's a pretty big effort, and it's not just a singular government effort. Again, your phone or car in North America has to talk to a similar device in other global regions. So that would mean a joint global effort of all types of governments, all types of regulators, and they already are. They're working together. So I'm happy to report that they're cognizant of it. And perhaps this is just something for the general audience to know, is that it's a heavy lift and many people are collaborating because we all see the promise of 5G.
Okay, that's great. So, Jim, how can the industries that are involved, as well as government, and really any entity, balance privacy and security?
Well, you know that security and privacy are key priorities no matter who you ask. And what makes this happen, or what would make this happen, is collaboration. We talk about this sometimes in a vacuum as to what we can do as an auto industry or what we can do as a telecom industry. But really, to be 100% secure, because all industries touch this type of communication, the types of services it offers, is hardware, software, network, cloud, car, government, all these entities need to work together to assure not only do we have the promise of the technology, we have the promise of a secure technology. Also a secure technology that offers privacy protections that people need.
Well, Jim, thank you for this discussion. It really sounds like we've got an exciting future ahead. Sounds like industry is collaborating and moving forward to really set the stage so we can deploy these autonomous vehicles in a very efficient way. Again, I'd like to thank my guest, Jim Meisner of Qualcomm, for the discussion and appreciate you sharing your expertise and helping us to understand 5G and its promise and considerations for the automotive industry. SE is also a resource for professionals interested in learning more about cybersecurity in the mobility industry. SE has actually developed a cybersecurity knowledge hub on SE Mobilis, which is the platform for mobility engineering resources. The knowledge hub has everything an engineering professional is seeking, from technical publications to events and training, and a directory of companies with expertise in this important area. To learn more about these resources, please go to www.sae.org/knowledge hubs. You've been listening to SAE Cybersecurity Podcast, What 5G Means for Transportation Cybersecurity, with my guest, Jim Meisner, a Senior Director of Technical Standards at Qualcomm. I'm Patty Cray with SAE International. Thank you for listening.